To all of you as we gather for worship at St. Luke's this morning. It's great to see you here and people who are with us online as well. But just got some really distressing news this morning, and Loretta has more information than I do, but I know that the Orwigs had a fire this morning, right? Early morning hours. That left the house but burned the shop area and a greenhouse.
The greenhouse, and they said that they had a knock on the door about 5 o'clock this morning, and this guy said, "You have a fire." And so they went out and they said, "We really had a fire."
Oh.
It melted some of the siding off in the house, and the firemen were pushing in the walls as John called me to make sure there was no hot spots, but he said he thought he probably should stay there to make sure that it was completely out. But he's going to try and come back for the coffee, so.
Okay, oh, that'd be wonderful if they could, but what a distressing news. I mean, they had the accident when they were moving, and last week John told us that an extra problem they hadn't foreseen with septic tank that needed replacement or work at least, and then the fire this morning. So that we'll see what that means for the reception, but what a dreadful thing to have happen as they are preparing to leave the community after these many years. One other thing to be announced is that that we announced it last week, the fairground, the thing at that habitat sale at the fairgrounds coming up in May. Also that this evening, the third session of the one on Scripture, Sexuality, and Church will be held at 7 o'clock over at Union. And again, choir Wednesday at 4 o'clock. We know that there will be some people missing because Marlis and I are going to be on vacation this week. And I remember one other who said she wouldn't be there this week, but we will be back. The word is that as soon as it can all be arranged, I'll start with some hormone therapy, and then that could last. The doctor's first word was, maybe a couple of months. I'm going to try to talk him down on that and get this show on the road with the other treatment that I'm going to have. But at least something is happening, and I know more than I did a week ago. That's worth something. Huh? One other thing we have this morning is we are going to practice one of the hymns, the communion hymn number 495. It's one I think we had on the bulletin last week, but didn't quite know what to do with it. And as Julie and I have been talking about things in worship, we agreed that on some of the hymns we've gotten into the kind of the habit of dragging them a little and let the congregation slowly bring us down. So we're going to try to put a little more energy into the hymns, see if we can make that work. But 495, we'll listen to it. I'll sing it, and if you feel you know it, sing right along. But if not, listen to me once, and then we'll sing it. Just the first verse. Once we're dead, now live fully knowing Jesus as our head. Life is overflowing when he breaks the bread. And now sing along. We who once were dead, now live fully knowing Jesus as our head. Life is overflowing when he breaks the bread. It's a lovely hymn. It wasn't in our earlier hymnals. This is the first hymnal that's had it in. But I'd say that a guy down in Boulder who was the professor of composition at the University of Colorado, after he sang this, just praised it immensely, said it was a new favorite communion hymn for him. Having this lovely one. So, just so you're aware of that one. And now, we'll begin our worship with the confession and forgiveness. Please stand as you're able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
All hail. Fill the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. O seed of Israel's chosen race, now ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord above. Hail him, you heirs of David's line, whom David, Lord, did call. The God incarnate, man divine, and crown him the God incarnate, man divine, and crown him Lord of all. Sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Our riches with them and slain, and another blessing and glory ever is. This is the peace. A victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia.
This is the feast.
A victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people.
Us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the fourth chapter of Acts. Peter and John have been arrested the previous day because they were proclaiming the news of the resurrection to the people. In today's reading, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit so that he can proclaim salvation in Jesus' name to the religious authorities. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 23 responsibly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along the right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from the third chapter of 1 John. Jesus' death is on our behalf is the clearest demonstration of divine love. This is the very love we share with others, not just through our words, but especially through our deeds. In sharing such love, we fulfill God's commandments. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's greet the gospel reading.
Ave, 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 hallelujah. Ave, 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 hallelujah. Ave, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know that some lessons we learn early in life. Where I lived when I was a kid, we didn't have kindergarten, so I can't say the things you learned in kindergarten. But I learned anyway that there are things, important. I had an older brother. I learned there's a large difference between stop that and dad said you better stop that. In school, getting permission is important, but the really important thing is who gave you permission. Permission from the school principal means something. From a teacher, probably means something. From another student, probably not. Permission from the janitor was usually as good as from the principal, right? The question is, who says so? By what name? An equally important consideration involves who accepts responsibility. Who is watching your little sister to keep her safe? Who's watching the sheep while they graze in the roadside ditch? Later in life, whose name is on the report? Who signed off on the project? By what name? So it was in the days of the New Testament and the days of the early church. In the background of today's first reading, Peter and John have been arrested not simply because they healed a man, but because they preached to the crowd that gathered as a result of that healing, proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. So now they're brought to trial before the priest and the elders because of that. And the question is simple, by what power or by what name did you do this? Now if you think about it, it's a little humorous because they got arrested for that and now they have the opportunity to do it again, because they get asked that question, declaring that they have acted in the name of Jesus. Let it be known to all of you that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In the gospel reading, Jesus accepts responsibility for those to whom God sent him. I am the good shepherd. Now, hearing those words, we might think first of kind of those soft and fairly gentle animals. We used to have sheep when I was growing up on the farm. We had as many as 100 head. You think about that. You think about the shearing. You think about all of that stuff. And maybe think of this psalm that we read today. The Lord is my shepherd. Sheep and shepherds are mentioned throughout the Bible. You know, when Jesus was born, shepherds out in the field watching their flocks by night. The Old Testament story, David was the shepherd boy who became king. And Jesus tells a parable about the lost sheep and the shepherd who finds it and brings it back, carrying it home. You probably also have heard that shepherds were viewed in Jesus' day with contempt. They couldn't serve as witnesses at trial and whatnot. They were regarded kind of the great unwashed, I guess you could say. But the word shepherd also has another meaning if we know the Bible somewhat and think especially about the Old Testament. In Old Testament Israel, the kings were called shepherd because it was their responsibility to care for the people. If we know that part of the Bible, we see that Jesus is really making a very strong political statement when he says, I am the good shepherd. The prophets accused kings of being bad shepherds, not caring for the people, just caring about themselves and whatever they could accumulate for themselves. You know, I think most of us know that every leader we elect is going to disappoint us, right? You've never elected somebody that wound up doing everything just the way you wanted it. And so, you know, the prophets, if they had been around in our day, they would have assailed Bill Clinton for his personal immorality, Donald Trump for his public dishonesty, and every other leader we've had. Jesus, in his day, was contrasting himself with the Romans and the Herods and the Jewish leaders of his day. Jesus says that in contrast to the irresponsible leaders and rulers, in contrast to kings who failed to care for the shepherd, for the people, he is the good shepherd. Sent by God to save the world, he laid down his life for the sheep on Good Friday, took it up again on Easter morning. Jesus cares, Jesus knows his own and is known by them. Jesus cares for us. There's a biblical promise that one day all things will be restored to God. All things. And it will be in the name of Jesus. Now, living in the world of the 21st century, that leaves a little mystery, I think, for us. There was a time that the church was pretty much a narrow little enclave. Where I grew up was a little German community, of German descent. You know, and so everybody knew everybody, and it was that kind of view. We didn't think much about the larger world. But what about people who live faithfully and compassionately in this world apart from the name of Jesus? We do know that God hasn't made us the judge of that. We have to remind ourselves now and then to, you know, kick ourselves off that throne of thinking we're the people who get to decide that stuff. But we don't know how God will receive people who have lived in this world without ever knowing or hearing the name of Jesus. We don't know about people who have heard and rejected a really warped and twisted version of the gospel. And there's been plenty of that in the time that the church has existed in this world. But we do believe that God's saving power was at work in Jesus. And above all, we know that that's the name that you and I rely on. We can speculate all we want, but we only have one story to tell. We have one song to sing. For there is no other name under heaven given to us by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus is at the center of our church life, at the center of the way we see the world and the community around us. This is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Jesus is the one who has taken on himself the burden and the sin of the world. Jesus is the one who has embraced the whole will and purpose of God, and we are related to God in his name. So Peter and John, they knew that, and they responded in terms of what they believed. They told those leaders what they believed about Jesus, and what they did was done in his name. Think about that. Everything we do here is done in the name of Jesus. And more than that, everything we do in the community and the world is in some way done in the name of Jesus. Here it's scripture and preaching, prayer and singing, greeting at the meal, all those things. In the community, it has to do with helping the needy. It has to do with finding ways to address human need here and through our offerings. And the things that those get accumulated with the offerings from other churches around the world, we touch the world in a way that none of us individually could do. And as a denomination united with other congregations, that also multiplies what little effect we have into something really important. From Buffalo to the ends of the earth. At the United Church of Christ, it's through the Montana Northern Wyoming District, and the Lutheran Church is through the Rocky Mountain Synod. All those things. Wonderful ministries done because the Good Shepherd has called us to follow. The point is that when Christ's love lives in us, it finds a way to be expressed through us. It motivates us to touch the world. So everything we do is done that way. As members of congregations, that's one thing that people who aren't in the church often overlook, is that multiplying effect of our care, of Christ's care through us. So we do rejoice that God's children are cared for, whoever does it. When we were in Turkey, we learned about a great social service thing that happens there called Kimse Yok Mu, which means something like, is anybody there? The name came from a time there was a great earthquake. And both the people who were searching through the rubble would call out, is anybody there? And the people who are trapped in the rubble would be crying out, is anybody there? And that became the name of this agency. And they have trucks of emergency supplies ready to go at a moment's notice whenever there is a disaster or catastrophe in their communities or in their area. A wonderful example, and we rejoice in that. But we also rejoice that we have the opportunity to know, to care, and to serve in the name of Jesus. And one thing we might overlook is how much stuff in this world started in the name of Christ. That now is community-based, or we don't think of it as being church-related. Stuff from Alcoholics Anonymous to the YMCA, from hospitals to hospices, from orphanages to nursing homes, from soup kitchens to daycare. All those things started under the auspices of Christian people who cared because Christ cares. And out of that, as those got to be things that communities cared about, the communities kind of took them over. And so now some of those are done through our tax dollars, but they originated in the name of Christ. And that's a wonderful thing that we ought to remember. And so Christ risen, crucified and risen, Christ living in us, working through us, helps to touch the world and heal the wounded everywhere. And we pray that that may always continue, because we pray that we may always respond to the Good Shepherd's call. Amen.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father,
and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Alive in the risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Loving Shepherd, you know your own and your own know you. Your voice calls us to your loving embrace. Strengthen your church throughout the world that we bear witness to your expansive love. Hear us, O God.
Hear us, Spirit.
Gracious Shepherd, you are generous with the gifts of goodness and mercy. Restore your creation to wholeness so that cities and towns, countryside and wilderness may abound with life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hope-giving Shepherd, the nations and peoples are your heritage. Place into the hearts of all leaders and rulers the passion to serve. Crucify any desire to overpower others and give leaders joy in lifting up the lowly. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Abiding Shepherd, your love flows as we reach out to those around us. Move us with your Spirit so that we lay down our lives for those in need. Help us to love one another in truth and action. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Saving Shepherd, you restore us to wholeness. Help our community and our life together and give us vigor as a people of faith. In the midst of challenges, opportunities, fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We remember especially today's, we're so deeply aware of John and Nancy and the anguish that they experience as they suffer this loss of fire overnight. They've been challenged in the recent weeks by the accident and by the problems with the septic tank and now this fire. We pray that you would continue to give them the courage to face through these trials as they prepare to move to the next chapter in their life. We pray that you will grant them wholeness and joy when this is all finally past and they're able to be again in the area that they grew up and with their family and loved ones. Oh Lord, give them the assurance that they are in our care and our hearts as well. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Eternal Shepherd, you hold us securely in your loving hands. In the assurance of resurrection hope, we remember our loved ones who have died in you. Bring us with them to dwell in your house forever. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In the hope of new life in Christ, we raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We ask you to share a sign of peace in whatever way you choose to do that with those who are near you. And when you have done that, please be seated. At this time, it is ordinarily in our tradition, the time of the offering. We again express our thanks to God for you and to you for the generosity with which you continue to support the ministries of this church and beyond this church, the ministries done through this church, both with financial gifts as well as by the gifts of your energies, your prayers, your concerns for one another and for the community around us. It is a gift that touches us deeply and touches the world. Now, of course, we will be looking for ways to see if there's anything we can do to give support to John and Nancy as they face this additional and unexpected trial. But thanks be to you for all that you do. We continue with the offertory song, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful.
Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and dreams of all, united with the prayers we offer. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please stand for the communion service. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through your Savior, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Please be seated. the body of Christ given for you.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ shed.
The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ given for you.
The
body of Christ given for you.
The
body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give you life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus is risen. From the three coming in glorious light, splendor of the Lamb, heaven and forever.
Oh, what a miracle God has in sight. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah. Walking the way, Christ in the center, telling the story to open our eyes. Breaking our bread, giving us glory. Jesus, our blessing, our constant surprise. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah. Jesus the vine, we are the branches. Life in the Spirit, the fruit of the tree. Heaven to earth, Christ to the people. Gift of the future now flowing to me. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah. Weeping be gone, sorrow be silent. Death put asunder and Easter is bright. Cherubim sing, O grave be open. Clothe us in wonder, adorn us in light. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah. City of God, Easter forever. Go to Jerusalem, Jesus the Lamb. River of life, saints and archangels, sing with creation to God the I Am. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah.
A couple of other items. One is, of course, the coffee time set up in honor of John and Nancy. It's still here for all of the, for coffee and goodies.
And a book to sign.
Yes, and there's a book to sign there, a memento of this area, a beautiful photo book that everyone ought to sign to give to them as a gift. Also, there are handouts from last week's session on the scripture and sexuality thing on the tables, and there's here and there a couple, three books that you could still buy if you wanted to do that. But we'll find a way to say it to John and Nancy directly, but at least we can be thinking of them as we receive today. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.